In the studio this morning, I have Gaia Shan Singer. Her experiences of life have given her a desire to write a book called Genitals, Love and Other Bits of Pieces, about things our mother never taught us and our fathers never knew. Partly in the hope of helping encourage young people to step around some of the pitfalls that life can create from their choices, and partly to encourage those on their own twisty paths to realise that they can choose to seek another way at any time if they wish to do so. Gaia, thank you very much for coming into the studio and sharing. So why did you write the book?
Well, several reasons, Tim. To begin with, I wrote it for myself. I had no intention of writing a book per se. I was putting things down on paper to clear some of my stuff. I had been a woman who was looking for love in all the wrong places. I've made many decisions in life from a place of self-pity, of negativity, of lack of self-esteem and self-love. Not anymore, thank God. But because of these decisions I made, I could write the book that I have written today, which is mainly about sex, but it's also about many other things as well. Many of my lovers proved to me that they knew little about the art of lovemaking and even less about woman. So this book gives them all an opportunity to learn about the soft, gentle, sensual side of lovemaking. We all know about the whoopsie-doo hanging from the chandeliers type of lovemaking, and that's great, and great in its place, but there's an awful lot more to lovemaking than that. And I never found, in all my life, I'm now in my 60s, I never found a man who was able to love me in the way that I wished to be loved, which was soft and slow and gentle and sensual. So I've put it in a book, and if I never found a man like that, and if that's how I wanted my to be, you know, to be loved, there must be a lot of women out there who are similar. I've also wrote the book for me to show me how far I've come, and to remind me of what I need to remember when entering a new loving relationship. And I think that's an important one. Men also were very inquisitive, appear to be very inquisitive about their counterparts' shapes, sizes and functions. So I've spelt out in great detail all you might be curious about with reference to other people's genitals. And also, if you're a male or female who is unsatisfied with the intercourse you're receiving from your partner, then this may be the book that will help you. However, as I say, my book covers a lot more than actual lovemaking and all that that entails. It also covers hormones and homosexuals and abortion and menopause. But I'm getting in front of myself, aren't I? You asked me why did I write the book. So I wrote the book for me. I wrote the book for you. I wrote the book for anybody, teenager up to the elderly, who would like to find another way of expressing themselves and receiving the expressions from their partner. And by sharing some of these life experiences, it's my hope that if you're young, you'll be guided to perhaps choosing a less rocky path for yourself. And if you're older and are carrying the weight of experiences past, that you'll have the courage to come out of the pain of denial and fear and come into the knowing that you can create a difference for yourself, and that that might only be a thought pattern away. Now, of course, I'm a woman, so I'm writing it from a woman's point of view, a woman's experience and perspective. But I have tried to be as balanced and fair as possible to you guys out there. I may not have always succeeded in doing so, but I've done my best from where I stand. What do you think? Do you think I did okay?
I feel that you've done very well, really, because, I mean, New Zealanders, we're definitely, in many cases, the blokes are fairly hidebound. And this is a big challenge here, because, I mean, I soon to pack around a scrum that happens to be in a bar and talk about V8 motors. really. So we've got that, we're breaking that mould, of course.
Right.
And it has to come. But essentially, what it is that New Zealand guys, I spend a lot of time with all sorts of different humans, and particularly across the board, and I still see, even in the well-to-do levels of society, men have a tendency, of course, to see woman as an object.
Right.
And I think that's a big, that's still something we've got to work over, instead of realise that they're another being, that, and if they can just sort of cater for the light behind their eyes and start to make communication that way,
right,
there's a possibility then that a deep and sincere relationship can occur.
Right. Also, to be blunt, if men can learn to truly make love to a woman rather than have the focus of their orgasm as their goal, they will find their orgasm is so much better.
Well, this is the big change at the moment, is to be able to pleasure your partner to such a degree that then you actually culminate in pleasuring yourself,
right,
both yourselves at the same time.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, the bit of I've observed of the young people today, and I don't have a lot of contact with young people, but it appears that some of the young women are going the way of the young men, of the men now, and are out there just to have sexual flings with no emotion behind it at all, which is a pity.
Yes, well, once upon a time, of course, there was a big difference between the genders, to the degree that as you see now in politics, the woman who are getting into politics, for them to survive in politics, they're having to become like men.
Right.
And they're going to have to think like men and be hard-nosed like men and tough like men. I mean, Margaret Thatcher, when she went into Parliament, her first legislation she put through was for the benefit of women. But after a while, she realised that if she's going to compete, she had to become like a bloke.
Right.
And we see that across the board now.
Yeah, but Tim, it's one thing to be like a man at work, or a man to be a man at work, but when you come together and making love, then one has to drop that part and join together.
Yes, I think to be able to drop from your head to your heart has become quite a challenge for lots of people these days.
Right, yes.
And so when we slow down and breathe deeply, but play with, have a lot of play and go slow, as you say.
Absolutely. Well, I'd also, Oprah, I was watching Oprah a while ago, and I actually put this in my book. She had an interesting show where a group of teenage boys and girls were interviewed separately, male and female, about sex. And most of the girls said they were giving oral to the boys in the belief that the boys cared for them. And the boys were saying that the oral was great and the girls were sluts. And the girls were horrified and mortified at being told this, as until then their illusion was that they were popular and liked by the boys. And the outcome was that the girls realised that this was not the way to best treat themselves, and that they would instead wait until they had a proper relationship, and the boys realised that using a female for sex and then rubbishing or despising her was not clever or mature after all. Now, right through the book, I am conveying this type of thing of don't give yourself away, respect, care, all this sort of thing. And the kids do not believe that oral is sex. I don't know what on earth they think it is, because to me, oral is more intimate than intercourse in some ways. But getting this into the kids' heads is something else again.
Well, you see, this is Bill Clinton was able to slip through
Absolutely.
The whole thing on the same one, because it wasn't in the Bible. Because the way they wrote the Bible, they were so sort of separated from it that they didn't want to talk about sexuality.
Yes, or anything to do with the body that God happened to make, but it's not in the Bible.
That's right, and so this is open slather,
yes,
now, believe it or not, for Christian America.
Mm.
And yet if you have a look at, I know that Ayatollah Khomeini, he had a book there talking about you could not even stand or put your anus in the direction of Mecca. I mean, that's right, particularly right. All these sorts of things. But right. The Bible has... Well, it's a sisterhood. The sisterhood actually have to come together and say to the guys, right, we're not going to go believe these standards. And they've got to hold to it across the whole planet. They've got to hold to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's up to the women. Because men, whether we like it or not, their brains very quickly drop from their heads down into their testicles. And they stop thinking, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them. So it's up to the women to say what they want and what they don't. They also, in one of my chapters, I talk about rape. Now, rape is a lot more than the act that we know. And there's also two subtle types of rape. And these are rapes where the man, and quite possibly a lot of the women, don't even see the act as rape. One is when a man's attitude to his wife is one of ownership. She's expected to give up whenever she wants it. And the other is when the man expects, encourages, cajoles, pushes, whines, grizzles, sulks, pressures, or otherwise forces through manipulation the woman to do his bidding of having sex, either oral or intercourse. Now, I have come across an awful lot of these men, and a lot of them are really nice guys, other than for this fact. Once that testosterone gets in the way, they lose it. And it would be really nice for men to start to become aware of what they do when they push a woman to have sex. Just because the woman then chooses to have it with them doesn't mean to say she wants to, or she's enjoying it, or she has respect for him.
Yes, I feel that possibly even in underdeveloped countries where women are carrying a whole lot of the burden of a whole lot of children, and quite often it could be just that the male just wants to get his rocks off.
Right.
And so he just uses her as a means to an end, and she's the one who has to go and get the food, bring up the child, get the water clean, etc. And it's really, really completely out of kilter, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. So although my book, I absolutely agree with you, so although my book is a serious study, it's actually written in a very humorous way. So it's, did you get some good laughs?
Well, even the cover is really good. It's got,
right.
And it's, you can see it's a feel-good cover as well as easy to read.
Very easy to read.
And there's, as you say, heaps of information.
Yes, yes.
Which we need. I mean, instead of people going up on the internet or something, they can just sit here and they can be guided through it. And as you say, there's everything from how and why teenagers act as they do, the challenge of not loving yourself, you want children and why, I'm pregnant, now what, all these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to be able to talk about STDs. I'm
right.
Astounded that the press and the news are not pushing precautionary approach to all sorts of every sexual encounter. You'd particularly say for Christmas now.
Right.
What government stations up there saying, okay, look, we want to get people out of the hospitals. We want to give everybody a doctor's rest. Take precautions.
Yes.
Go slow.
Yes.
But they don't seem to do that.
They don't do it, and neither do the schools teach it. I interviewed one boy when I was writing the book, a lovely 14-year-old, and he said, I told him the type of book I was writing, and I asked him whether he thought it would be the sort of thing he'd like to read, and he said, oh no, he wouldn't need to because he's taught it at school. But it came down to that all he was taught was about the sperm and egg bit and nothing else. And I thought that was absolutely tragic in today. He knew nothing about that a woman takes a lot longer to come. Nothing like that. And nothing much seemed to have been taught about diseases either. And it's up to the schools to be teaching these, and if the parents don't want the schools to teach it, it's up to the schools to teach it. And yes, if some of those radio stations, especially the ones that the kids are listening to, spoke about some of these things, how wonderful that would be.
You would think that the government would have a socially responsible clause put into the broadcasting act. If you're going to use the airwaves, Every radio station has to buy the airwave.
Yes.
Why don't they say, right, well, you also have to have certain educational input to let people know that to be responsible.
Right.
Self-responsible.
Absolutely.
Strange.
The trouble is that human beings, and especially not until we get to our age anyway, we don't think we're ever going to die. We don't think we're ever going to get any of these diseases. It always happens to someone else. But the point is, we do get them. Some of us do die from some of these sexual diseases. And unless you're raped, you what you choose is, you know, you create the result of what you choose. So I would say to them, choose carefully, as otherwise there's a good chance that further down the track you could have to contend with a challenge that you'd rather not have. With sex, responsible people act responsibly. If you're not responsible, well, watch out.
Yes, I agree. I've known of a number of people, about a dozen people who have died of AIDS.
Right.
And some of them just went within 6 weeks. This is back early 80s.
Right.
Yes. And so you have to be really, really careful.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And for support of your book, have you had people or government or health department, anyone support you?
Oh, I would love. No, I tried to get into, I've approached 8 secondary schools on the North Shore, gave them each my book, The Librarian, and not one school accepted it. One librarian opened the book, turned grey and closed it again with her thumb still in the page, and I said to her, she immediately said, oh no, we couldn't have this book. And I said, why, what did you just look at? And it was to do with oral, trust that she would open it there. And I said, well, whether we like it or not, the kids are doing oral. And she said, oh yes, but you actually tell them how to do oral. I said, no, what I do is say to them that if you're going to do oral, this is the respectful, caring, considerate, safe way to do it. But no, this would be wonderful for teenagers. And I would love to get it into every school. And it's also a book for all ages, from teenagers right up to the elderly. I had one gentleman of 84 who rang me, who read the book, and rang me and said he only wishes that his wife was still alive.
Yes. And is anybody else in the world coming behind you to support you?
Yes, I have had some wonderful support from Neil Donald Walsh. Neil Donald Walsh is a world-famous author of the Conversations with God books. And I'd like to read just a part of what he said. This is going to go into the next edition of this book. I loved everything about Genitals, Love and Other Bits and Pieces. Guy's laid-back style, her humour, her wisdom, her compassion, her courage and her in-your-face honesty was a joy. I also delighted in the way her thoughts on God popped up in various pages, at times when least expected. And although Gaia owned all her thoughts on God, she encouraged her reader to look deeper within, beyond that which they had been taught by parents or religion, to find their own personal truth of God is. By writing with such passion and clarity on the taboo subject of God and sex in the same chapter, sometimes in the same sentence, Gaia has battered down a barrier which should never have existed and certainly has no place today. The basic theme throughout is care and consideration for oneself, each other, our animal friends and our planet. Genitals, Love and Other Bits and Pieces is a wonderful book. Its message is vitally important and I hope that it reaches a worldwide audience. Isn't that a great foreword?
Very much so.
I'm truly blessed.
That's right. And whereabouts do you sell the book?
Well, I was selling them off my website, but my website's gone down. So I can't sell it there at the moment, but I can give you the email address. And the address is info@singingearth.com. And if you email me there and tell me how many books you would like, I will let you know how you can pay and get a book off to you. It's info, I-N-F-O, at Singing Earth. That's singingearth.com.
So, at another stage, www.singingearth.com will have available. When do you hope to have that up again?
In about 3 weeks.
I see. Okay, we'll keep that one open.
Thank you,
definitely.
Yes.
Could you give us a few comments, Gaia, on what other people have said?
Yeah, one guy said, my wife brought your book home and started reading it in bed. Needless to say, being a mere male, I found the title intriguing and had soon taken it from her and started reading from the beginning myself. I was unable to hand it back or put it down and read it from start to finish that night. This book proves that you're never too old to learn. My wife and I are in the early 60s. It has considerably improved our relationship, and we've really enjoyed a jolly good laugh. Also, going back to the schools, an ex-secondary school librarian and deputy principal said this: this book fills a gap in the school library, and as it is so easy to read, kids can use it themselves as a resource without the embarrassment of having to ask adults. There is nothing else like it around, and I believe it's a very important book to get into secondary schools. Here's hoping, I guess, Tim.
It is. Thank you so much. That was Gaia Shansinger on her new book, Genitals, Love and Other Bits and Pieces. And if you want to contact Gaia at info@singingearth.com.